This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. The beloved children's author Katherine Patterson has just won the E.B. White Award from the American Academy of Arts and Letters in recognition for an exceptional lifetime body of work. Patterson is known for books like Bridge to Terabithia, The Great Gilly Hopkins, Jacob Have I Loved, and many, many others. She's won the National Book Award twice, the Newbery Medal twice, and this is far from her first Lifetime Achievement Award. But it was a good excuse for us to call her up again. Katherine Patterson, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Well, thank you, Jane. It's lovely to be with you again.
Congratulations on the award. Does, at this point in your career, an award still come as a pleasant surprise, or is it like, oh, yeah, another one of those? I got seven closet.
No, listen, any award that has the name E.B. White attached to it brings with it a great thrill of joy. And also, since he's one of my real heroes, I'm just thrilled to win an award with his name on it. And, you know, he was a guy who probably was one of the best writers in America, and yet he respected children so much that he wrote some of his best work for them. And that makes me very happy.
Yeah, I won't disagree with you there. And, you know, I'll point out that you've won this E.B. White Award. You've also won these two major international awards recognizing career contributions to children's literature, the Hans Christian Andersen Award and the Astrid Lindgren Award. And to now have those names along with E.B. White and yours, I mean, to be in the same category as these authors who do have such deep respect for children's intelligence and senses of humor and emotional lives must feel pretty special.
It feels wonderful. It really does, because, of course, those three are sort of emblematic of the best in children's literature.
Yes, and so are you, I suppose, Katherine.
Well, you're very kind to say so. I'm very grateful to have been able to write what I have written.
You mentioned that, you know, E.B. White had such respect for children, and so it feels extra special to get an award with his name on it because of this idea that, you know, children's emotional lives are as important to recognize and write about as adults' emotional lives and ideas and feelings and loves. How do you think about that world of children when you write, and why you think, yes, this is the population I want to be writing for?
Well, I used to say, when people say, what age do you write for? I said, well, I write for myself, and then I go look in the catalog to see how old I am. that 9-year-old self that had so many fears and such deep feelings is very often the child that I want to write for, 9 or 10 along there, sometimes even up into adolescence. And so, you know, when people say, well, do you go and listen to children talk, or do you, you know, how do you do your research? I think, no, I go back and visit the child within me, because I know how deeply she felt. And therefore, I know that children can feel and do feel very deeply. And I have to respect that when I write for them.
You and I have talked about this before, Katherine, but, you know, that this the many feelings that you tap into include feelings of otherness, feelings of despair. How does it feel to keep going back to that well and to your 9-year-old self and to such, in some cases, fear and sadness and, you know, feelings of being overwhelmed? To have to relive that all the time to then write these would maybe be difficult.
Well, because I grew up. And I know that life is full of many joys and great hope and all these good things, and I also want to say that back to my 9-year-old self. Look, there's hope, there's goodness, there's joy in the world.
You know, I'm curious if you think kids today need something different from their literature than kids did in the 1970s and 80s and earlier in your career. I mean, are you writing to different needs, or is there something universal? And even if there's something universal, there may be something different as well that you have to sort of, you know, tie into them.
Well, I think it's pretty universal. I think children have many more distractions now, and maybe, probably, I don't know if they have more fear, but there are a lot of things to fear in this world. And the fact that my book, a book like Bridge to Terabithia, seems relevant to children today must mean that it's tapping into something that's still very important to them. It still sells more than all my other books put together. So I think that probably means that children still have those same fears and those same needs.
Is that true? Bridge to Terabithia sells more than all of your other books still to this day?
Yes, to this day.
Can you remind for a new generation of parents who perhaps didn't read it themselves as kids, the sort of overarching theme of the book? It's one of my favorites.
Well, I wrote the book because my son David, when he was 8 years old, his best friend was killed by lightning. It was a tragedy that made no sense. This beautiful little girl just at the beach, dancing on top of a rock, happy and joyful, and a bolt of lightning that nobody expects comes down from the sky and kills her. Now you try to explain that to your 8-year-old, or even to yourself. And so I began to write a book because I needed to make some kind of sense out of a tragedy that seemed to make no sense. And I know the story has to make sense. Certainly, if you're writing for children, you have to have a beginning and a middle and an end that somehow, if not intellectually, emotionally, ties things together and makes the beginning and the middle make sense for you. And so I began writing the book.
What I appreciate about the book is that, yes, while there's a beginning and a middle and an end and a narrative arc, there's not a simple answer as to why these things happen. And I think often as adults, we probably want to believe for ourselves, but we also want to in some way protect our children by finding an answer for them. And you don't do that. You allow them to understand, your readers and the children and the characters in your stories, that some things are just tragic and inexplicable in a way.
Yes, and there are those things in life. And I'd like for people to read, especially for children, to read the book before they need it as sort of a rehearsal, because they're all going to have to face tragedies in their lives. And somehow, if you've done it in fiction, it's kind of rehearsal for real life.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think what we've been hearing about children and resilience is that you don't want to protect your children anymore from all of the bad things that could befall them, because then something terrible does happen and they have no coping skills. And so perhaps your books help them develop that empathy and that ability to cope or to understand that bad things happen before they need to.
One would hope so, yes.
Catherine, this is, as I said, not your first Lifetime Achievement Award, the E.B. White Award from the American Academy of Arts and Letters. And I, as somebody who doesn't have this personal experience myself, I'm wondering if it's weird to get a Lifetime Achievement Award when your lifetime is not over. You're still writing. You're obviously still vibrant and alive. I mean, what must that feel like?
Well, every now and then I ask, when they offer me something, do I have to die to get it? And they assure me I don't. It does feel a little funny because I keep, I'm trying to go to my desk now every morning and keep writing. So, and I hope that there'll be something on my desk unfinished when I die and nobody will try to finish it.
Oh, you don't want anybody to try to finish it?
No. Well, I've read books that were finished by somebody else in the now safely dead author, and I thought, no. please, that's maybe not the way they would have wanted to end it.
So perhaps at a certain age, you look at something like the controversy over Harper Lee's posthumous book and think, I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen to me. So when we called you to say we want to have a conversation with you on the occasion of this award, a good excuse for us, Sam Gale Rosen, one of our producers who called you, said, are you still working on something? And you said, yes, but you won't tell us what it is. Why not?
Well, they wanted to wait and make the big announcement. So
that's not what you told Sam. You said, I don't want to tell you what it is in case it's terrible and I have to totally get rid of it.
me the book.
Yes, yes, the book you're working
absolutely.
On.
No, that's true. But, you know, I want to, the first draft is always garbage, and you hope that you'll have a chance to revise it so it won't be garbage, but you can't revise a book you haven't written, so you just keep going and assuring yourself that eventually you can turn it into something good. But sometimes, you know, I want to get to the point where I think, nope, it's garbage, and I'm not going to go further. But if you've told people about it, they'll keep saying, now, when is that book about such and such coming out? And you'll have to say, oh, well, I threw that one away because it was no good.
Have you ever thrown them out? I mean, you said you get to the garbage stage and then you push through it. So do you ever say, no, this one really is trash. This one is not going to see the light of day?
Well, actually, I have done that because it just didn't work. And sometimes years later, I've gone back and written the book. So I don't really throw it away, but I just say that, you know, it's not going to work.
Well, I won't push you to tell us what it is, but I do hope that you push through the garbage stage. And I look forward to seeing whatever you come up with next.
You're very kind. You're very kind.
Catherine.
Don't tell my publisher I'm working on something.
No, I would never. I wouldn't dream of it. It's just between you and me.
Just between you and me.
Catherine Patterson is an author of books for kids and young adults. She lives in Montpelier, and she just won the E.B. White Award in recognition of an exceptional lifetime and body of work. Catherine, congratulations, and thank you again for talking with us. I always appreciate
it. Thank you, Jane. It's lovely to talk with you always.